Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business, learn something, laugh at something. On today's episode, we are continuing with our restaurant movie series, and this time we are doing the movie Burnt with Bradley Cooper. But first, the intro.
Tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay. And if you don't, then you'll be a follower.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Danny DeVilla.
What's up, people?
Now, it's not in our best interest to say, turn the podcast off. If you haven't seen the movie Burnt, go watch it. It's on YouTube. Yes. Yeah. And then listen to the podcast because obviously, spoilers ahead.
Yeah.
We won't give you every detail of the movie, but we want to go through and talk about.
Yeah, man. For sure.
You know, this this restaurant movie.
And it's a good movie, so you just definitely check it out before you watch. Before you I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Whatever. Go
ahead. let's do this. It starts out with Bradley Cooper. He's doing I don't want to say voiceover, but he's narrating.
He's narrating. Yeah.
He's narrating the beginning of the movie and catching you up to what happened to him in the past. And he was pretty much a very brilliant chef. Two Michelin stars.
Yeah.
And he's from, I believe, Louisiana, is he? But he moved
It didn't really say where he was from. It just said he's American.
Yes.
He moved to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
He worked under a really, obviously, exclusive chef named John Luke. And he had some issues. He's back in America.
To say the least.
Yes. His star rose and it burnt out.
Okay. And he burnt some bridges. It wasn't clear to me the bridges that he burnt or how he specifically messed up. He ended up owing people money. He ended up going back to the States, ended up in Louisiana, and the movie starts with him paying his penance.
Yes.
And his penance is self-imposed, and his goal was to just go back to
the grassroots, pretty much.
Grassroots and the labor of the kitchen, of the work, in shucking 1 million oysters.
Mm-hmm.
And once he hit his 1 millionth oyster, he walks out of the restaurant that he was shucking for. He keeps a little notebook of how many he did per day, the running tally, and there he is.
Yeah.
And he leaves him in the lurch.
Gone.
Mid-shift.
I don't even know if it was mid-shift. It might have been like a few minutes into the shift.
We don't know. Well, the shift wasn't over.
Exactly. Oh, for sure. He's gone.
That would be a good I Quit story.
Yeah, for sure.
We did a podcast. I want to say season two, maybe.
Yeah.
It was called I Quit.
Mm-hmm.
One of the more, was it eventful or, we had to do it in two parts.
Mm-hmm.
And man, two long-winded people couldn't land it. But it was some good stories in there.
Great stories.
Great to go back and watch and listen. We weren't on YouTube then.
Yeah.
Go back and listen. It was a pretty good stories in there.
Absolutely.
About I Quit. We might have to do a couple more. Now back to the movie. He goes. Now he's in London, I believe. Is it London?
Yeah.
And he really starts to call upon some old friends.
He goes, checks on one friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much, he goes and checks into their hotel. The dad owns it.
Yes.
And he connects with the person.
What's the actor's name? He played,
he's what's his name? From
Baron,
Baron. Yes. From Avengers. And what's the other show that came out recently? Hawk and,
Captain America.
And the Winter Soldier.
In the Winter Soldier, yeah. He played Zemo.
Zemo.
Baron von Zemo or something like that. And he's the son, the owner of the hotel. And Bradley Cooper goes in and he starts murking them with the...
Or the food.
With the food. He just starts telling them that this is crap.
Yeah. And just look at these eggs. My eggs are looking at me. It's what exact words to him.
Yeah. So he says, you're going to need me. You're going to hire me.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. You're done. You can't work for me at all. No. Ends up kicking him out of the hotel because he didn't have any more money. So he starts calling in favors, mm-hmm. basically, to see where he could fit in. And he goes on a journey. Yeah,
journey. He put together his vision.
He's
putting the band back together.
Well, maybe not back together, Papa got a brand new band.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's putting some old pieces with some new pieces, and he's putting together a team.
That's true, because he had a gentleman that he worked with together, and originally he started running from him.
Yeah.
Because he knew he did him wrong, mm-hmm. and then they started fighting, and the guy said, you know what? It's been years. I've come to peace with you screwing me over in Paris. I'll come work for you.
Yeah.
You're going after the third star. He only has 2 Michelin stars. He wants to get 3 Michelin stars.
You make it sound like 2 is just not a big deal.
To him, it wasn't. You know, to him, the third Michelin star was for him to be validated.
Yeah.
It was for him to feel like his life is complete, his life worth was wrapped up into him being a chef, into being a certain type of chef. He is very, very old school. And that theme plays out in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because... everybody is moving away from they're moving towards new technologies, mm-hmm. and methods of cooking, and he's still with the saucepan and old school, and little does he know that shift is going to be a challenge for him to overcome, mm-hmm. and wow the peoples. Now he goes it's worth noting that he is now sober.
Oh, yes. Well, that was huge. The biggest, I think one of his biggest hurdles from back then to now was it wasn't just the alcohol. It was the drugs, the alcohol, the women. He was addicted to everything. He was addicted to the life. He was almost like a rock star in his own right.
Yes. And it was implied that the money he owed was gambling. I don't want to say it was implied, but what else could it be? You know, he owed the French or people from Paris a lot of money. And they, throughout the movie, they come after him. At one point, they beat him up.
Oh, yeah. But that's later on.
That's later on. So we're at the part where he's putting his...
He's putting a band together.
But he needs a place.
So he kind of, in the same sense, he goes and meets a critic, invites her to this restaurant.
Uma Thurman.
Yeah, that his boy runs.
Yes.
The one that he went into originally at the hotel, and she can crush you. So he walks in. She comes in. The owner's freaking out. Bradley Cooper goes, well, looks like you're going to need me now if you want to make it through this with your horrible food.
Yeah, he sets them up.
Yeah, pretty much.
He sets them up, sends the critic in there who they're old friends, but not, you know, a loving, you know, warm relationship friends, but... you know, everybody has this contentious type of friendship relationship.
With him?
With each other.
Yeah.
All the characters are really not open arms type of people. No. But it works for the movie.
Yeah.
It works for the movie. He sends her in there.
Well, it looks like he had a lot of bad blood when he left. So, I mean, he left.
That's true.
He looked like he shitted on the world, pretty much.
Screw you. Fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you. You're cool. Yeah,
exactly.
He really did go out in a blaze of glory, however it was. And I would have liked to seen that. For me, I would rather be shown what happens in a movie instead of being told. And never mind... we weren't really told explicitly what it was, unless I missed it.
No. It was just a combination of things, it sounded like.
Yeah. But nonetheless, it actually does work for the tone of the movie.
And I feel like we both kind of know people like in the industry that have that kind of, you know, maybe backstory in a way, but not really.
Well, most definitely the whole time it reminded me of an old chef, Chef John.
Yeah.
A wildly talented person, but wildly... unpredictable. Mm-hmm. The only difference is John was never really an a-hole to staff and his people. He was strong because you have to be strong.
You have to be strong.
You got to keep the whip cracking.
Yes, for sure.
Okay? You have to make sure that everybody is focused. But the abuse part is a throwback, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there are many chefs, because I haven't really worked with a lot of chefs who are like that any longer. But when I first started, oh, yeah. They would get out of my kitchen, get out of my restaurant. What are you doing? No, I'm not taking this back. Oh, you're going to pay for it. It could be very stressful.
Yeah.
Now with this new age, you got to really treat people differently. I don't know how that translates into the old school kitchens. I can only imagine it depends on where you are.
Yeah, it depends on matches of the food world. But yeah, definitely a throwback of what we were kind of accustomed to.
Yes. And, you know, the old get off my lawn stuff.
Yeah.
It plays, but not really, because these people, I don't want to say they're dying out, but as new talent comes through, so are their sensibilities and their ways.
Yeah.
And so that's how he finds himself. He goes to restaurants, he goes to food courts, he goes to street people, and he's learning.
He's reinventing his
mind. He's reinventing his mind, so he thinks, and he has an eye on this. I forget what dish it was. He went to a restaurant, goes back in the kitchen, he knows the owner, and he wants to meet the person who made it, the sous chef who made it. And it's this girl, very much like Colette from...
Oh, from Ratatouille.
From Ratatouille.
Absolutely.
She's almost looks like her too.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me, the role that women play in certain movies. They're very talented, very driven, things like that. And then later on in the movie, I'll tell you a little bit about my annoyances that they end up putting a woman in. But let's go. He approaches her. She says, I don't want to work for you. I'm happy where I am.
Yeah.
And so now we come to the part where the critic is in the restaurant. The owner knows that they're not good enough.
Yeah.
And she could bury him with one review.
Absolutely.
And so Bradley Cooper comes in and he goes, you're going to need me.
Yeah.
Just like you said. And he goes, you set me up.
Mm-hmm.
He starts to cook. Sure enough, he wows them. He gets the job, but he says, you gotta reopen. You gotta shut down.
We're doing it my way.
It's a whole new restaurant. So they remodel.
Mm-hmm.
New name, everything. His name's on the thing. Is it a marquee one? I don't know.
Well,
it's not a marquee. His name is on the billboard, I guess.
On the door.
Building.
On the building.
On the restaurant.
Yeah.
On the restaurant, yeah. And so he starts the cooking montage, and he goes after the girl again, and she says no, you know, because he knows that she's a valuable piece. And so going through it, it's a lukewarm reception at his grand opening.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to say he gets a bad review, but he gets a very neutral review on the soft opening. And then the opening, there are empty seats and things like that. He starts to freak out.
Yeah.
He freaks out. He takes it personally. And he should. He really should, because he made this family spend a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They really invested in it. He knew the father, who was a good chef, and then he's now dealing with the son, who pretty much admires him, but not in a glowing way.
Yeah.
It's again, another contentious relationship. What do you think about the movie so far?
So at this point, and where am I in the movie? It's, you know, I mean, I enjoyed it because I enjoyed the acting and stuff like that, and just the journey that Bradley Cooper was going through.
What about the feels for the restaurant portion? Well, it's a complete restaurant movie.
Yeah.
And there's not much, there's none of service.
There's no service.
Actually,
there is, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay. Talk to me.
Because right now we're learning, he's a chef. So
okay. We're
all in the kitchen. He's almost teaching about, you know, what it really means to be a Michelin style chef, and you're starting to see the dishes and stuff coming out.
Mm-hmm.
There is no real pure service part of it, but it does teach us about, which I didn't know about, about how certain things in with the Michelin lifestyle is about. Because I've never been to a Michelin star restaurant.
Okay. I'm attempting to unpack what you're saying, because it's not necessarily the Michelin guide is a literally a travel guide.
Mm-hmm.
And it started, this is me not being definitive, but it started from the Michelin company, mm-hmm. the tire company.
Yeah, I noticed that on the little
yes,
brochure.
Yes, basically that's what it was. And it was for people who would be traveling, who could understand where they can go for a certain level of
a service.
Of experience mm-hmm. in a restaurant.
Yeah.
None of it can be solicited. You can't go invite them in and say, hey, can you rate my restaurant yeah. and things like that. It's completely
up to them
to seek you out. And it's like a secret shop or whatever, or secret review.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put it in that year's book and so on and so forth. 1, 2, 3 yeah. Michelin stars, what have you. And it very much is a throwback, because now, you know, your Michelin stars are basically, you know, the different reviewing
yeah.
platforms that you have. I don't know. It's a right that restaurants do have that are at that level.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to match up. Is this what I'm looking for? Is
yeah.
this what I'm used to? You know, I've never been either, but I don't even aspire to it.
No,
it
may.
You know, that's
yeah, that food looks small. The whole time I'm watching the movie, I'm like, man, it looks beautiful, but I feel like I would just be hungry after every single plate that went out.
Understood, but you really are appreciating
the food?
Not just the food. The craftsmanship.
Yeah, the art of it.
The art of it.
Yeah. I mean, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. And whenever you go to a certain style restaurant, I always tell people, you can only pay this much for certain ingredients.
Yeah.
What you are paying for is the overall knowledge and technology and understanding and the whole experience
yeah.
of the beautiful restaurant,
mm-hmm.
the service, where things are, how it is presented to you, the ambiance,
the
aromas,
yeah.
the eye. So you're eating with your eyes, your ears, as well as your palate.
Yeah.
That is the encompassing experience. There's a couple of places I know that I'd like to. I don't know if it's Michelin rated. It's a sushi place in New York
mm-hmm.
Called Sushi Naz that I.
You were telling me about it.
Yeah, that's one of the places that I wanted to go, but then the pandemic kind of mm-hmm. halted that thing. And I'm just in love with that style. It's a small place. It's essentially. A sushi bar,
mm-hmm.
but it does have a restaurant. It only has less than 13 seats in the whole
thing.
Oh,
wow. It's tiny.
You know, it's tiny. It's tiny, but fresh fish flown in every day from Japan. And the chef is an authentic sushi chef.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he
goes all in.
He goes all in and he gives you, you're not ordering stuff. You're sitting down and you're taking
what he
prepares for you. And so that's more my experience than, you know, everything else. It's to each his own.
Yeah.
And now he's very arrogant, this
oh, for sure.
this character of him, you know. And he even said that was a component of a good chef. He goes, you lack arrogance when he is
when he's actually talking to people and putting together his team.
Yes, when he's putting together his team. Now we're midway through
the
movie?
We're about a third of the way.
Well, a third?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're at opening night,
yes,
which was not a success,
mm-hmm.
and he decides to, where he was previously reluctant to go on a TV junket.
So the girl actually ends up getting fired from her job, the one he really likes.
He got her fired.
You never said that. He gets her fired.
Who never said that?
You never said that. You
never okay.
said she came over. So
yeah, you're saying it.
I'm saying it.
Yeah.
He gets her fired from her job. She comes in. Now she's forced to work for this guy. Okay, this is opening night, the
what
same night.
Asshole.
What an asshole. I mean, in due respect, he does triple her salary.
Yes.
But so now he's putting his teams together in his mind the way he wants it to be. It's opening night. He thinks everything is humming the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Dishes are coming out. But people, you know, they're still new. They're making small mistakes, but they're like, it would be small in a regular restaurant, but to him, it's the end of the world.
Yeah, he's okay. A perfectionist.
He's a perfectionist. Mm-hmm.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So things aren't sliced to the millimeter the way they should be. This doesn't look like this. This doesn't look like that. He ends up, and they're not full. Mm-hmm. He ends up losing it because he, in his biggest thing, he goes, we'd rather it take more time and come out the way it should be than to go out wrong.
Correct.
And he just starts throwing plates and he's getting pissed off because it starts to, you know, and you can see it. You can see the frustration, not only because of the restaurant, but because of he's felt like he's already failed.
Well, he hit a wall.
Hit a wall.
It's like coming out of a time capsule.
Yeah.
And you're no longer relevant. Effective.
Yeah.
And so he realizes that he's no longer effective and he's pushing people away and around. And the girl that he tripled her salary, he went after her several times, got her fired, and then hired her. She stands up to him and says, no one cooks with pots and pans anymore. They call their pot and pan drawer a museum. You're boring or whatever the case may be. He doesn't take it well, but he takes it.
Yeah.
And realizes that he needs her even more than he knew before. And so take us through the other two-thirds of the movie.
Okay, so from that point, so now he goes, he's at the point, he goes, it was a disaster of a night. He apologizes to everybody. He tells the owner's son of the restaurant, he goes, make sure everybody gets their money back. And then he kicks everybody out. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, yes. Because before then, the owner's son says, they want you to do some TV spots. You know, he goes, no. I'm me. I'm not doing any of this shit. You know, blah, yes. blah, blah. And he looks at the guy and he goes, I'll do the spots.
Yes. Okay. He says, tell every TV station, so, yeah, I'll do whatever they need.
Yeah. So then he goes on air, does the spots. They relaunch.
Okay. Yeah. He tells him, this whole week, I'm cooking for free.
Free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on through.
And the lady goes, aren't you already booked? And this, that, and the third. And he goes, well, yeah, but people always, reservations are always canceled. So mm-hmm. you always just shoot your shot. Come on in.
Yeah.
So then we fast forward a little bit to the new open.
Yes, where he embraces technology yes. a little bit more.
Well, the technology they're talking about is what, the sous vide?
The sous vide, yeah.
Okay. So, which in his mind is, it's not cooking because it's just, you're cooking in a bag. And he calls it, what does he call it? He calls it, it's not cooking in that condom.
Yeah. True, he didn't want to cook with the condom, but that's one of the things that he really had to understand.
She explained that there was, you know, with the sous vide, that you're locking in flavors. It was things that you weren't be able to do before. You're not only just cooking it, you're marinating and locking in that flavor. So it comes out with a whole different presentation.
And she sells them on the consistency.
Oh, yes.
Whereas you're with the sous vide, you can hold lower temperatures mm-hmm. and then finish it off the way that you
yeah,
want to.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can finish it in the pan. You can her exact words, you can finish it on the fire.
Excellent words, Bachman. And so I noticed a couple of things with the dynamic. When he, in the beginning of the movie, in the height of his arrogance, he is holding court, whipping things up, taste this, is mm-hmm. this too much of that, and things like that. And the spoon to me represented his, the power is directional, mm-hmm. you know? If I'm the big boss and I'm dipping the spoon in the sauce and asking you to try it, the power is from me to you.
Yes.
You know, there are a couple things. And so while he was understanding and taking in her knowledge, she was telling him to try things and she was spoon feeding him.
Yeah.
And so I thought that
they were
was
playing
interesting.
Off each other. Yes. They was the teacher and the student were growing together.
We're growing together, but the dynamic started to shift where he had more respect for her, mm-hmm. whereas before he yelled at her and said to get out of his kitchen. So he was really willing to take it all in and learn
yes.
from her and things like that. So I thought that power dynamic was very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so she has a child,
mm-hmm.
and she's always late for work. She's giving everything to her job,
yeah.
really. But feeling the pressure of being a mom, and she asks him, now the restaurant's humming.
Yeah, now it's the way it should be. It starts to have a good flow. They're mm-hmm. getting good reviews. He's already had one review that was good, not great, but good.
Yes.
Okay, and it starts to get the nice flow. You start to see things. You know, you see the motions in the restaurant.
Yes. And then he gives them a speech and says, hey, they're going to come for us.
Yeah.
You know, these are how you can tell that the Michelin man or woman is here.
Mm-hmm.
They always come in pairs. They always have half bottle of wine.
When
one
person comes in for the other, they wait. Then they sit down. They always order a half bottle of wine. They put a fork on the floor to see if you notice it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they don't let it drop. They put it there to see if you notice it. There's these little nuances because everything should be perfect.
Yes, yes. Now they're anticipating the reason why that's his purpose
yeah.
is to get the third star, mm-hmm. give notoriety to the restaurant, and in a lot of ways help her along her
path,
her chef journey,
yeah,
her culinary journey, and so that. And that's basically what it is. You don't want to really be stuck doing the same thing. And
mm-hmm.
I don't want to say stuck if you do like it, but you're all meant to grow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Level up, like we talk about all the time.
Level up, yes. And so now, you know, he's leveling up, she's leveling up, and it's starting to come together.
Mm-hmm.
What I do notice is that...
When everything starts to come together... Then you start to see those little, remember those the two henchmen almost, which you want to call it.
Yes.
People start wanting their money. Okay.
yeah, they come after
him. It's time to start paying you back. We yes. know where you're at.
Pay him his
yes,
money.
Okay. And they become not like a center, because I don't think they even have words. I don't think they ever even talk, but you just see them and you start to see their presence.
Yes. And that's one thing that pretty much, I don't want to say annoyed me, but you're left to your imagination as to why they're after him. What specifically are they saying?
Mm-hmm.
You as the audience, you, like you said, you see them and you almost feel the tension, but you
yeah.
almost don't because you don't know what the stakes are.
Exactly.
You know, they don't really share that with you. But that's a style choice, and,
mm-hmm.
and I think it works for this movie.
Yeah.
For sure. And so they start showing up at the restaurant, showing up at the back dock and things like that, and they actually get them.
Yeah. So there's one day he's actually out. So he goes and sees, we almost forgot about it, but there's another chef who gets his third Michelin star. And that's actually in his mind who Bradley Cooper is coming for.
Mm-hmm.
He worked at the same restaurant together back in the day. He owns his own restaurant and he got his third Michelin star. And in Cooper's mind, that's the antagonist for him.
Yes.
He's the one he's chasing after. He's the one to try to prove something about in his mind too.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So they go, he has, Bradley Cooper opens. We talked about that earlier. You know, we had the horrible open, then he had the good open. And now this guy is losing it because he sees his competition, you know.
Thriving. Yes.
Okay.
Catching fire.
So now he does the same thing. He tries to reinvent himself again.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Cooper's invited. He ends up seeing, he takes the...
The
lady chef. We'll call her Nicolette. and they go to a, they end up going to a dinner party. And at the dinner party...
Oh, she cleans up nice, by the way.
She does. Cleans up very nice. They run into his old flame / the daughter of the restaurant where Bradley Cooper learned everything.
Mm-hmm.
They talk, whatever. You know, there's that awkward kind of talk because you haven't seen each other in years. They're both sober at this point.
Yes.
And then Bradley Cooper walks off after the conversation, he walks off and he just kind of leaves the girl just pretty much standing there.
Yeah.
And then she ends up finding him.
Well, he doesn't walk off because the henchmen come for him.
No, no. This is at the party. The henchmen aren't there at the party. He talks to the girl and then he just leaves. And she's like, where did you go? And he's at the fish market.
Okay.
And then they have a moment together. They're talking about the fish and everything. They go, well, I'm here for, she goes, I'm here for the monk fish.
They bonded over fish.
They bonded over fish. They have a moment. They end up, you know, having a moment.
Yes. Now, this is one of my issues with movies. I get the formula, but sometimes for me it's out of place. When, particularly in an action movie or a drama or whatever the case may be, you have a female character, and then
there's always a love interest.
Is there? Does it have to be?
No, not in the real world, but in the movies, yes.
The reason why I forgive it a little bit is because it happens in the restaurant.
Yeah,
it really does. But then I was almost looking for it because I'm like,
I mean, even in the movie, they say, you know, you're going to sleep with her. You know what I mean? Like, off the rip.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
You're going to destroy her, just like you do everybody else, and blah, 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 blah. So it's almost like one of those kind of things.
Yeah, so they end up having a moment, and I kind of did my eye roll because...
Of course you did. I think everybody did that moment. And that's when the henchmen come up.
Yes.
And then they... Then
it was an episode of Taken, because they took him.
Yes. She goes in with the food and everything else, and now they're at the restaurant, and they find him on the corner beat up.
Yes.
Like, right outside the restaurant. They're freaking out, and we're about more than halfway, about two-thirds into the movie at this point. They're all freaking, you know, it's a normal night. Everything's kind of flowing. He's beat up, and then they try to clean him up and, you know, make him just rest. He needs to go to the hospital, but he chooses not to.
Yeah, he's in the middle of service. He's bleeding.
Yeah, he's in the middle of service. And then, boom, the Michelin people show up.
Yes.
Okay, so he goes, gets up, hurt, in pain, bleeding, and goes all in. He gets the whole team ready. That's what we're here for. Everybody's helping out. It's all hands on deck, but he's leading the charge, like, by himself, but he's making, you know, he's doing it all, but he's not, you know. And then they get it all together. They make the dishes. It's exactly what they were talking about. Everything he said earlier about, like, the Michelin people, all this is going on.
Yes.
So he's getting the dish ready. He gets it all perfect. He sends it out. Okay. They come back 2 minutes later and they're like, it's too spicy. And they're all shocked. Like,
yeah. They sent the food back.
They sent the food back, which is, you know.
Death blow.
Okay, from the Michelin people. So the original shoot chef, remember we were talking about earlier, that was beating him up, but said, I got, you know, I'll let bygones be bygones.
Yeah, I'm going to bury the hatchet. Yeah.
He looks at him, he goes, in his hand is full of cayenne pepper. He goes, the pepper. And he goes, now we're even, pretty much.
Yeah, that was for Paris.
That was for Paris.
Yeah.
And walks out.
So in the same day, he got his comeuppance.
Yeah.
One from the henchmen, one from inside.
Yep.
The guy worked for him the whole time, waited for his time.
He was waiting for his time.
Yeah.
He did it right. Okay.
He did it right.
And Bradley Cooper looks over and he wants to be angry. You can tell he really wants to be mad.
Yeah.
But he goes, fuck, I did this to myself.
I did it a long time ago.
This is my past haunting me right now. Okay. I did it to myself.
And how do you feel at this point of the movie?
You feel almost, I mean, at that point I felt what he felt. I felt like, hey, you did this to yourself.
Okay.
There's nobody else you can blame at this point but yourself.
True.
And then he goes out and he's sulking and he ends up throwing his book off the bridge or whatever.
His diary that he wrote, how many oysters he shucked up to a million. He ends up throwing that over, and that is his turning point in the
for
movie.
For him of letting go almost.
Yes.
He ends up hammered. He's haven't drank in over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up hammered at we're not going to call him the enemy, but
the competition's restaurant. Yes.
The competition takes care of him. They're closed.
He's on the floor.
The guy just takes care of him.
He almost tries to kill himself.
Yeah. He's like, this is, you know, it was almost, you could tell that they had a bond back in the day, but you know, and that was, they let that go. And then he wakes up in the morning, they reconcile. And then now we're headed forward into pretty much the end of the movie, if you want to wrap it up.
Yeah, we're wrapping it up here. Well, not here, but this is towards the end of the movie, because there's a lot of come to terms, come to Jesus,
a lot of things
letting
come to terms.
Go. And he almost is at peace with not getting his third Michelin star,
yeah.
Because before, in the earlier in the movie, it would have been the end of the world for him.
Oh, no question.
And now he realizes that, you know, it's all about growth. It's all about family, and the theme and of family has come up.
Exactly. And it's like, and there's not one, it's not the one person that is it. It's the whole.
Yes.
It's the team.
And whereas before, when the Michelin people came in, he was very abrasive. He pushed people out the way, do it like this.
He was doing it all by himself.
He was doing it all himself. So now some time passed by, and the owner of the restaurant, Baron Zemo, and the girl comes up to check on him. He's still wounded. I guess no time has passed by because he's still wounded.
Yeah, it's the next day.
It was the next day. He had called the Michelin to
see if they had any agents in the area.
And they told him about the sabotage that would happen. And they said, hey, we didn't have any agents in the area. And so they were relieved that the sabotage didn't really go beyond two customers that were from Ohio or something like that.
On business, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, on business. And so life goes on until the Michelin people came.
Yes. Well, and then, well, as life does go on, and then, well, let's really quickly, he gets his debt taken care of.
By the daughter,
she goes, yeah, this is our problem. It was our problem together. And then she walks away into like the light, which was kind of quick and easy. And then
walks off into the light.
And walks off into the sunset.
Okay.
But his life could start to become resolved.
Okay.
Things that were haunting him before are becoming resolved, and he's starting to see the world in a whole new light. And then now, yes, we're at the restaurant. It's a normal day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the true Michelin people come in.
Yes.
And he, to finalize everything, he goes through all the motions. But this time, instead of jumping in and taking over, he goes, we're going to do this together as a team.
He's like, we're going to do what we do.
We're going to do what we do.
Yeah.
It is what it is. At this point, they're just another guest.
Yes.
And we need to treat it as so. And that is how you really run a real kitchen.
And that's how you really run a real kitchen. And to really let you go on this, if you do things, I had a manager that used to say, you know, treat each guest as if you're serving your mother. I didn't really like the idea of having a VIP guest.
Yeah, everybody in their own right should be their own VIP.
Correct.
Yeah. I never understood that when people are like, oh. Like the staff would get all crazy, like when the owners would come in or something like this, and they would kind of get all bent up. It don't matter.
We got to do it right anyway.
Exactly. It should be right for them, or it should be right for anybody else.
Exactly. If not, even more important.
Yeah.
To do it right
for the person
else.
Next to them. Yes.
Correct. Because the owner already has a baseline to go from.
You got to go with people whose bills they are paying his bills.
Yes, and if someone who's never been there, they have no baseline or record of you, so you have to make that best impression every time. And so, yeah, to have a VIP guest, just do what you do.
Yeah. It should be that way. You're absolutely correct.
It should be that way. So that was one thing that I never understood when people try to make a fuss and say, oh, this is VIP, this is, you have to, nah. Everyone deserves the best that you have.
Every
time. Sure, things happen. But now we're going to talk about, we're going to wrap it up and understand what kind of restaurant movie is this. And one theme that felt true to me was the family meal.
Mm-hmm.
And, there were times back in the day. Well, they've done it, I believe, three times during the movie. The first time, family meal. I think the second time she offers to make him a plate.
Yes.
He's kind of busy. He's off to the side. And then at the end, he participates and he's
a part of the family.
He's a part of the family. And to me, it was the underlying current of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
In restaurants, as you know, it's a band of misfit toys.
Absolutely.
But you find a family, a lot of times, when I was going through a lot, I couldn't wait to go to work. That's where I found my peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was family for a lot of people, and I find that to be very true for a lot of restaurants, is that you may not be perfect in your own life. You may have issues. You may be abused or abuse drugs and things like that. But when you're around
your people,
you become whole.
Mm-hmm.
And the family meal was what stood out for me.
Absolutely.
How was it for you? Let's rate it as a movie and then a restaurant movie, and we get out of here.
For as a movie, you know, throwing the little points that Heath, that Marlon threw in to kind of remind me, I'll give it a 7.
Okay.
From the learning standpoint of a restaurant movie for me, I'm giving it a 7.5 because I didn't know anything about that world.
Okay. Okay. I thought the movie was one note. I didn't feel the tension that was being portrayed. I'd rather be shown than to be told. Mm-hmm. So that's when you have a voiceover filling in gaps. But it was left to us to assume what the stakes were.
Yeah.
I liked it as a movie. It was a 6.5 for me. Okay. But I'm a tough judge. It didn't really take me through the feels.
Yeah, I got what you mean.
It just didn't. But it was a good movie.
It was
a good movie. I didn't want to turn it off at any point.
No, I felt the same way.
Yeah. Now, as a restaurant movie, it was very much a kitchen movie.
It was a kitchen movie.
It was very much a kitchen movie. I don't see any service in there. Not that there has to be. Mm-hmm. There has to be. There doesn't have to be any service whatsoever. But as a restaurant movie, I would give it an 8.
Okay.
I gave it an 8 because the relationships are there.
Yes, the relationships are there. You see all of that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of the dynamic between owner, chef, sous chef, other people. And they were meant to be very obedient and things like that. There's very much a military structure.
Yes, absolutely.
In this movie, as in a lot of kitchens. And so, check it out. What year was it? 19?
No. It's 2000. It's not that old. Maybe 2015, 2012. Okay. It's either 12 or 15.
It could have been, instead of burnt, it could have been burnt out.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. You're watching us on YouTube. You're listening to us on your audio podcast.
Yeah.
One way that you can help us out is to comment, share. There's mm-hmm. a little arrow. Share our podcast to someone who you think might enjoy our show. And we do this for you each and every week. Reach out to me. You can follow me on Instagram at The Modern Waiter Podcast. We're truly appreciative as we grow. Remember, a lot of people have reached out to us. Take your turn.
Yeah.
And let us know.
We take show ideas. We take we'll hear comments about past shows, mm-hmm. how we can make new shows better. We're here to learn as much as inform.
Yes. And as we go through it, we go through it for you and with you. And be among the people who have reached out to us and have shared the show and given us some feedback.
For sure.
We are appreciative. Thank you so much. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny DeVille. Subscribe, 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 people.
We'll see you next time.
Later.
Woohoo.
Yo, my life is like a movie, but it wasn't recorded. So sinking off the hook, guns and diamonds and poison.